The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with the plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And I'm sure that you have felt the change in weather, the chill in the air. And I'll tell you guys, the Ed Man seems to be fighting a bit of a cold here. I got a stuffed nose today, so I hope you bear with me as I go through some of the events for the week, sounding even more obnoxious than usual. How is that possible? I don't know. Now, I have taken some oil of oregano, so I hope I'm all right. My understanding is that they don't really do tests on this homeopathic stuff like oil of oregano. I don't know why. I mean, I've heard that there's no money in it, so they don't do tests and see if it really works out well. But, I mean, there's got to be money in it because it's like $40 for a bottle, right? So you figure some of these companies would kind of get together and maybe do some tests, but maybe they're afraid of what the results would be. Maybe they'll do some tests, and then it turns out only thing the oil of oregano does to you is makes you want the rest of the pizza, which is what this smell reminds me of. It reminds me of pizza, and I feel like having pizza, but there's none nearby. So I'll just go on with the show. So last week I made a big deal, as I tend to do on this show, about the rift between the establishment wing of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and the progressive wing of that party. And it's fascinating to watch these two go at it, like it's like watching a gladiator battle or something. But I don't care about which one of the participants wins so much, just as long as they lose to Trump. Actually, I guess I should care a little bit more, because the progressives will absolutely bankrupt the country. Meanwhile, the establishment will just more slowly bankrupt the country and be generally corrupt. Although I guess the Republicans, with their war spending, aren't doing a great job of keeping us out of debt either. But philosophically, I agree with Republicans far more than I do with the Democrats. And, you know, the establishment tends to have control over the mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC, and outlets like that, whereas the progressive wing tends to dominate social media like YouTube, even though YouTube is trying to squash that. But they tend to dominate YouTube, Twitter, and social media outlets. So you have this little war happening between these two factions, and they go back and forth with each other. But what I find is that, in my opinion, the progressives seem to be a lot fairer. Even though I disagree with them more, they seem to be more fair in their arguments than the establishment wing of the party, which will tell these outright lies, these amazing, incredible lies, in order to make the progressives look bad. So they were successful in 2016, and they squashed Bernie Sanders, and Hillary Clinton got in, but then she lost the general election. So I have a feeling that we're going to get a replay here in 2020, but who knows? Maybe they got smart, but I think it usually takes two losses to learn your lesson, and so far, there's only been one. So when they squashed Bernie Sanders and Hillary lost because Bernie Sanders people didn't vote for her, you know, they're like, what happened? I don't know what happened. Was it misogyny, right? Was it that they didn't want a woman to be president? Was it Russia's interference in the election? No, it wasn't any of that. You alienated your own base, you fool. And then you wonder why they didn't vote for you. And you wrote a book called What Happened that didn't even properly address this. You blamed Bernie Sanders supporters, but you didn't mention how you screwed them over. So you just made it seem like they just didn't want a woman to get elected. It's so disingenuous. And the establishment Democrats seem to have a lock on this disingenuous behavior more than the progressives do. And case in point, this is so interesting. CNN ran a poll. And in this poll, the numbers are as follows. This poll is for the New Hampshire primary, by the way. Bernie Sanders is at 21%. Elizabeth Warren is at 18%. Within the poll's margin of error, they point out, Joe Biden is in third at 15%. So if you look at this poll, Bernie Sanders is leading, and he's killing Biden, 21% to 15%. That's 6 points. That is significant. But that's not how CNN spun its own story. Here's the headline. Early state primary voters much more undecided than voters nationally. So that's the story. That's the story that they ran. They did something like 4 or 5 different headlines, and none of them, despite Sanders leading in this poll, none of them put that fact in the headline. Here's another one. This is a historically unprecedented New Hampshire mess. Wow. They are doing backflips to not mention Bernie Sanders' name. They did this last time. Here's another one where they actually did mention his name. I also find that the only times that they do mention Sanders' name is either negatively or in a backhanded way. And this poll, this headline kind of shows it. This is about the same poll. Sanders and Warren sit at top in New Hampshire, but there's no clear front runner. So they're really making a big deal about that margin of error there, I guess, in the in that particular story. Here's another one. This one is comical. This is unbelievable. Buttigieg in fourth, but a strong fourth. What kind of headline? He's in fourth place. See, they've been doing this thing recently where they've been trying to push. I think Buttigieg is how you say his name, but I say Booty Judge because it makes it easier to remember any kind of judge's booties. You know what I'm saying there? So I think that to say that he's in a strong fourth is laughable. Isn't that funny, that headline? I mean, they're really, really trying to not give Bernie Sanders any credit here. Now, here's a New York Times poll. This is an Iowa poll. Let me see here. Okay. The question is, which of these Democrats would be your first choice in the Iowa caucuses? Warren is number one at 22%. Next is Sanders at 19%. Third is Buttigieg at 18%. And then Biden is at 17%. Now, when CNN ran this and got these same results, they mentioned that Sanders was leading and then Warren was second and in the margin of error. And then every headline after that did not mention Bernie Sanders at all. Okay, here's how the New York Times reported their own poll. Here it is. Elizabeth Warren is leading a tight Iowa caucus race, according to our new poll, while Pete Buttigieg is surging and Joe Biden is fading. So they mentioned first place, third place, and fourth place. And they concede it's a tight Iowa caucus race, but they don't mention Bernie Sanders. Unflippin' believable. So it's kind of nice to know that the bias isn't only against the Republicans. This rift between the establishment Democrats and the Progressive Party is real, and it's playing out in front of us. And from my end, It's so entertaining to watch. To watch these people, you know, do circus tricks, do backflips and acrobatics, to not mention Bernie Sanders. It's craziness. It's craziness. And I don't know. I mean, would you call that a conspiracy theory? How many times can you mess something up before it is obvious that you're messing it up on purpose? Here is a here's another headline. This is real. Burn notice. New poll shows Bernie plummets in a virtual tie for first place in key states. The latest CBS survey shows Bernie 2020 has collapsed into an even stronger position for the Democratic presidential nomination. Like I said, if they mention the man at all, and they try their damnedest not to, but if they mention him at all, then they either do it negatively or they give him a backhanded compliment. I mean, what is this? Burn notice. B-E-R-N. New polls show Bernie plummets in a virtual tie for first place. This was actually September 8th that I'm seeing the tweet for that. And this is The Onion. And now this is The Onion. The Onion is a joke paper. So this is a fake. I don't know if fake is the right word when you're doing comedy, but this is a funny headline. This is not a real headline. Okay. MSNBC poll finds support for Bernie Sanders has plummeted 2 points up. Now, if I had read this first, it would have been funnier. But it's not that far off the serious headline of new polls show Bernie plummets in a virtual tie for first place. Isn't that funny? How close it is to reality. Here's another one. And I love that I can just rattle off one example after the next on this, because this is real. This is amazing. So here is a graphic. This one's on television that they showed this. And this is Sanders is at 21%. Warren is at 18%. Then you have Biden at 15%, Buttigieg at 10%, and then just for interest, Yang at 5%, Klobuchar at 5%, and Gabbard at 5%. My lady, Tulsi Gabbard. And it has, in the first and second place, a little bracket that says top tier. So they've separated Sanders and Warren as top tier, even though Sanders is 3 points ahead of Warren. Warren is still included in this top tier. And what's funny is that Biden is only 3 points behind Warren, but he doesn't get in the top tier. I mean, you know, this poll has a margin of error of 4 points. So it's completely possible that Biden's at 19 and Warren's at 14. But Biden is not included in this top tier. It's Sanders and Warren. They can't let Sanders have it all to himself. Okay. Now here's another one. This is, again, a CNN graphic. The last one was for New Hampshire. This one is for Iowa. Iowa Democrats, top choice for 2020. In first place, it shows Warren at 22%. In second place, it shows Sanders at 19%. Now, you remember the previous headline, when Sanders was leading, it said top tier. Okay, this is amazing. So I'm looking at a graphic. Warren's at 22%, Sanders at 19%, Buttigieg at 18%, Biden at 17%. Here's the headline. Here's the graphic they're putting on the bottom. 2020 race, Iowa poll. Biden and Buttigieg within striking distance of Warren. So Elizabeth Warren is at 22%. Sanders is at 19%. That's supposed to be top tier, remember, guys? Then next In third and fourth place, you have Buttigieg and Biden. And the headline says, Biden and Buttigieg within striking distance of Warren. Buttigieg, in this poll, is 4 points behind Warren. Biden, in this poll, is 5 points behind Warren. But Sanders is only 1 point ahead of Buttigieg and 2 points ahead of Biden. But they skip Sanders and they say that they're in striking distance of Warren, who is listed as number one. I mean, like I said, they'll do acrobatics, backflips. You're seeing a whole circuit. You're seeing Cirque du Soleil here. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing them do everything they can to not prop up Bernie Sanders, to not even not prop up, to not even give him his due, to mention him. I don't even like Bernie Sanders, but I'm forced to defend him because of this blatant bias in the press, which is supposed to be on the side of the people, right? The press is supposed to give an unbiased view. They're supposed to say, here are the facts. They're not supposed to interpret facts for us. They're not supposed to group candidates together and say top tier. They're not supposed to say fourth place is a strong fourth. They're not supposed to say that the third and fourth place are in striking distance of the first place so that they can avoid mentioning the second place candidate. That's not the press's function. But they've taken it upon themselves. You know, at least the WWF renamed themselves the WWE. So instead of World Wrestling Federation, they renamed themselves Worldwide Wrestling. Oh, I don't even know what it stands for. Man, it's been a while since I watched wrestling. I'm ashamed. But I know that the E stands for entertainment. And at least they're saying, okay, we admit it, guys. Wrestling is not real. It's fixed. It's entertainment. It's for fun. Okay, even they had the ability to come clean, but not the press. And they never will. They never will. And you know, they always have their apologists, right? Oh, the graphic was reversed. Oh, you know, they that's not the only time they screwed up. They messed up with this other candidate's numbers or something. But I mean, look at the headlines, and even if what they say is true, and sometimes they mess up a graphic, why is it always against the progressives? Why isn't it ever where it helps out the progressives? It always coincidentally hurts the progressives over and over and over again. So it's, you know, it's obvious to me. And if you don't think that this is going to affect the election in 2020, you're out of your mind. Because if somebody is looking forward to voting for a candidate, but they can see that they're swimming against the tide, voter apathy will increase tremendously, and they will not come out. If they don't think their candidate has a chance to win, why would they waste their time? They won't. And because they don't come out, that gives, of course, the opponent a chance. So unless if Bernie Sanders doesn't get the nomination, they're going to say, okay, well, I don't care who wins. Now, a lot of progressives do like Elizabeth Warren. In fact, after Bernie Sanders had his heart attack, her points went up tremendously. I think that's a lot of what put her over the top and made her where she's such a contender right now. And I do think that I see these candidates, I think they do have a chance against Trump. Because when you offer so much free stuff, and the people, the have-nots, thanks to government, outnumber the haves. So when you're giving them free stuff, you say, we're going to give you free health care, we're going to give you free college, reparations, what else are they promising? Like a bunch of stuff. When you do that, you know, that's a pretty strong motivator. I'm going to get free stuff. I mean, it goes the other way too, right? People who run businesses want to pay lower taxes, so they're going to vote for the Republicans because generally they're the ones who are going to make the taxes easier on them. So everyone votes in their own self-interest. I can understand that. But if you take a broader look at things, if you have more business people, if you have more people who are able to start a business, and it's easier on them because taxes are low, because they can pay a minimum wage, or they can pay less than minimum wage, for instance. You know, I think a lot more businesses would get started if regulations were less. That is going to help out the economy. That's going to create jobs. It's going to make things better overall in the United States. But if you're giving out money like candy, if you're taking it from the productive people and giving it to the unproductive people, that's going to hurt the country overall. So not even looking at it from a selfish perspective, but looking at things from what's better for the population. The Republican mindset generally is a lot better, at least what they purport. Now, of course, if you're taking all of the money and you're giving it to the military to blow things up and then build them back up again, then that's not productive. But the philosophy of the Republicans generally is better. Now, speaking of being anti-interventionism, Tulsi Gabbard appeared on The View. Man, she really gave it to him. You know, she did something that I have not seen any other candidates do, which is that she preempted the framing. So normally what happens is if you're a conservative, you go on The View, they act like they're nice to you for the first 2 seconds, and then they ask you these questions that contain a smear in them. You know, a lot of people say that you're an Assad apologist. What do you have to say for that? Well, then why would you go and meet with him? Why would you meet with this brutal dictator, right? So then they create the framing. And what happened was when Hillary Clinton came out with her absurd smear, you know, I saw Hillary Clinton on the Daily Show with Trevor Noah recently. And Trevor Noah, first he opened up and he said, "So how did you kill Epstein?" And that's pretty funny. But then he didn't let them answer. He just kept on interrupting every time they were about to answer to kind of save them, because they were, in my opinion, getting a little bit awkward about things, you know. And hey, it was proven that she not only flew on Epstein's plane a couple of times, but that Bill Clinton went to that island, you know, a bunch of times. So, and Epstein went to the White House. I believe he went to the White House after he had been prosecuted, after he had been found guilty. He still somehow got into the White House. So, you know, they're ostensibly friends. And she's laughing about his death like it's nothing, kind of, you know, kind of sick. And Project Veritas came out with something recently saying about how the was it ABC News, I believe, killed the story. And in fact, CBS fired the person that they suspect leaked the video proving that they had killed the story, proving that ABC had killed the story. So kind of funny how the networks are sticking together. Anyway, Hillary Clinton had made some smears against Tulsi Gabbard and Jill Stein, saying that she was also a Russian asset. And then the View harpies went on saying, yeah, I think she is a Russian asset. You know, Hillary Clinton, she's very intelligent. You know, she knows things that we don't know. So Tulsi Gabbard appears on The View, and she let him have it, boy. She came right out, and she called him out immediately. She said, you know, some of you guys have been saying that I'm a Russian agent, and you know, she didn't say conspiracy theories, but, you know, espousing these conspiracy theories. And I just want your audience to know who I am. And then she talked about herself for a little bit, made a very strong case, and really threw the others off their game. Joy Behar was desperately trying to get her smears out. She couldn't say them fast enough. She couldn't look Tulsi Gabbard in the eye as she was looking down, reading off her paper, reading these smears one after the other just as fast as she could. Really sickening stuff, you know, how disingenuous they are, and that they're not interested in having a true dialogue, but rather just want to get out to the public the bad things about you, what they think the public is going to be perceiving of you as negative. And they just rattle it off as fast as they can. Really, you know, grimy, right? Really disgusting to watch. You know, it just gives you a bad feeling when you see obvious, I don't know, corruption like that. Hey, Facebook made it where you can't mention the whistleblower, Eric Ciaramella. You can't mention his name anymore, the suspected whistleblower. And Oh, I'm out of time. I didn't even get a chance to mention that Bloomberg is looking